Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was a kid, I had one of those optical illusion cards. I think it was on a 5x7 card. It was one of those illusions that just looks like an ink blot when you first look at it. But then you have instructions. You're told that you need to stare at this ink blot for a couple of minutes. And then you look at a blank wall and you see an image. You've probably seen these kinds of optical illusions before. Well, the one I had, the image that you saw after you stared at it for a while and then looked at a blank wall, the image that you saw was Jesus. I remember taking this card and showing it to my grandmother. I didn't tell her what she would see. I just told her, look at the ink blot, stare at it, really, really stare at it for a while, and then look at a blank wall and tell me what you see. So she did. She stared at the ink blot. And then she looked up at a blank wall, and I'll never forget her reaction. In a tone of mock horror, she said, "Ah, it's Jesus! He's coming to get me!" Now, you need to understand that my grandmother was one of the most pious and faithful women I've ever known. In her life, her priorities were Jesus Christ, Martin Luther, and Lawrence Welk, in that order. My grandfather's like number 10 on that list. And even though I knew and loved and some would say inherited her sense of humor, I found her response kind of jarring. She was acting like it was the Grim Reaper rather than her Lord and Savior coming in that image. Her response made an impact on me. I mean, I still remember it today. It made me wonder, is the coming of our Lord Jesus something to be afraid of? Today we begin the season of Advent. The word Advent means the coming or to come. And it's a season in which we prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus. Not just at Christmas, although that's part of it and becomes more part of it as we get closer. But we're also preparing for Jesus' second coming. And so we kick off this season, we always kick off the season of Advent with a set of scriptures that points to that points to Jesus coming again. And this first Sunday in the season of Advent can be kind of jarring to us because here we are, the holiday season is already in full swing, everything's supposed to be happy and merry and jolly, right? And then we come to church and we hear Jesus talking about these mysterious signs. We hear him talking about distress and confusion among the nations. We hear him talking about fear and foreboding about what is coming upon the world. Is this Jesus or is it the Grinch? Do we really need to hear about all of this now in this season? Can't we just fast forward to the cute baby part? Of course, it's always jarring to us to hear this language of the second coming. It sounds strange to us, especially because Lutheran Christians don't really talk about it all that much, and there's maybe some good reasons for that, but the downside of not talking about it is that that vacuum is filled with all kinds of other strange stuff. You have all kinds of bad theology, bad novels, bad movies, which present the second coming as a threat, as something to be afraid of. It's not just the faults of our quirky brothers and sisters in Christ who have a bizarre way of stringing random Bible verses together to come to these scary pictures. It can even be jarring and scary to us from the language of our own historic, traditional Orthodox Christianity. How about the creeds, for instance? Just about every week we say, "He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead." Is that a little jarring? Does that make your heart skip a beat once in a while? Does that make you think, "Ah, he's coming to get me"? The fact that this talk about the second coming is so jarring to us is all the more reason to have a Sunday like this. The fact that we mostly ignore this talk of the second coming is precisely why we have a lectionary of assigned readings to make us deal with texts and issues that we might rather avoid. And as we look at our gospel reading for today, we find that our Lord's coming again is not something to be feared. It is something to be anticipated with joy and with hope. So let's look at our gospel reading for today. Today we hear Jesus describing the world as it is and as it will continue to be until he comes again. Has there ever been a time in the history of creation when there haven't been natural calamities? Has there ever been a time in human history where there hasn't been distress and confusion among the nations, when there hasn't been fear and foreboding about what is coming upon the world? Jesus is straightforward with us about the way things are and will continue to be. He tells it like it is. But Jesus also tells us that in the midst of this, we as his people are to stand up. We are to raise up our heads. We aren't to cower in fear. We aren't to curl up in the fetal position down in our bomb shelters. We are to assume the body language of confidence, the body language of anticipation. We are to assume the posture of hope. And why? Because Jesus says, your redemption is drawing near. Jesus then tells this little parable. It's a very short little parable. Parable of the fig tree, it's called. Jesus says, when you see the fig tree start to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, he's saying, when you see the signs in the world around you, those are not reasons for despair or for hopelessness. Those are signs that the kingdom of God is near. They are reminders that something better is yet to come. Jesus compares his coming to the coming of summer. And who doesn't like summer? Jesus goes on to say, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place, before all these things have taken place. This is a passage that causes a lot of people to scratch their heads. What does this mean exactly? What we need to understand is that Jesus is not using the word generation here as a time frame as to when people are born or when they die, like we might use Generation X or the millennial generation or the baby boom generation. He's not using the word that way. Every other time Jesus uses the word generation in the Gospels, he's referring to a group of people who don't believe in him. He's referring to a group of people who have rejected him. That's how Jesus uses that word everywhere else in the Gospels. And so what Jesus is saying here is that these unbelievers will continue to be around until I come again. And so we as Christians will always have a job to do, right? We will always have a mission before us. The church will always have a job to do as we bear witness to an unbelieving world in the hopes that more would come to faith in him before he comes again. Jesus concludes this section by telling his disciples to be on guard. Be on guard. Don't be weighed down by dissipation. I had to look that up. What does dissipation mean here? What is dissipation? I looked it up, and it means to be overindulgent in sensual pleasures. Don't be weighed down by overindulgence in sensual pleasures. There's a difference, you see, between enjoying the gifts of creation and making them an end in and of themselves, and making them a lifestyle, and making them the purpose of our existence. Jesus warns the disciples against drunkenness. There's a difference, you see, between imbibing responsibly and using alcohol to numb yourself or to take the edge off or to use as a counterfeit source of joy. Jesus warns against being distracted by the worries of this life, being so caught up in our to-do lists and our day-to-day routines that we fail to focus on him. Be alert at all times, Jesus says. See, there's this black hole of despair and hopelessness. There's this black hole that's swirling around, threatening to suck people in. It's still very much with us today. And so Jesus says, be alert at all times, praying that you will have the strength to escape all these things so that you can stand before the Son of Man. I suppose we could compare the coming of our Lord Jesus to the coming of a police officer to your front door. How's that? If you're not expecting that police officer, if it comes at a surprise, you're going to be scared. You're going to wonder what happened. You're going to wonder, am I in trouble? What's going on? You're going to be afraid. But if you're expecting that officer, even better, if you know that that officer has come to save you, then you're going to throw open your door with relief and with joy. You might even be watching and waiting in anticipation for him to arrive. There's plenty in this world for us to be afraid of. But the second coming of our Lord Jesus shouldn't be one of them. We don't need to be afraid of Jesus' second coming because we know how he came to us the first time. He came to us as a baby. He came to us in the form of a baby so that we would look upon him and our hearts would melt. We wouldn't be afraid. We'd look upon him and love him. We don't have to be afraid of the second coming because we know he came the first time to be our Savior. He died on the cross for us. He atoned for our sins already. So we don't need to be afraid of the judgment. We already know the judge. We know he has taken our sentence already upon himself. As St. Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. So what is there to be afraid of? We don't need to be afraid of Jesus' second coming because he comes to us even now to give us these words of assurance. He comes to us through his word to give us these promises. He comes to us through his supper, even now, to renew us in his forgiveness and to give us a foretaste of what is coming, to give us a foretaste of the feast to come. Just a few days before my grandmother died, I went to see her, and she told me that she was ready to go. She was ready to be with Jesus. And as she told me that, she was in her hospital bed that was in her living room, and as she said that, she literally raised her head. Even in that hospital bed, she assumed the body language of confidence. The body language of anticipation. She assumed the posture of hope. She knew who was coming for her, and she wasn't afraid. She was in perfect peace because she knew that her redemption was drawing near. My friends, we can live our whole lives this way. We can live our whole lives in the posture of hope, in joyful anticipation, because we know that our Lord Jesus is coming again. So we don't have to be afraid. We can live in the peace that passes all understanding. Be on guard from anything that would lure you away from this peace. Live carefully. Be alert at all times. Pray. As heaven and earth pass away around you, cling to that word that will never pass away. And above all, assume the posture of hope. Stand up. Raise your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand as we sing.